What a joyous time that will be when we meet at the Eastern Gate with those that have gone before us, meet the Lord, and there we'll be in the presence of Him forever and forever. We talk about heaven, we sing about heaven, but sometimes we really forget how real it is, and one day we will experience that, and what a blessed meeting that will be. Tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, I want to read a couple of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we'll read verse number 12 and verse 13. Paul writes this second letter to the church of Corinth. The first letter was one of really a scathing rebuke to them in much of their lifestyle and the weakness of their spirituality and their immorality in some instances. Now he writes this second letter to them, encouraging them and talking about the things that they could do and the things that he was willing and wanted to be there with them, to meet them once again, not the way he did in the first letter, but in the second one with a much easier message for them. In verse number 12 of the second chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Bible says here, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went thence into Macedonia." I want us to look tonight upon that subject of that open door that God gave to the Apostle Paul. He tells us in verse 11 that we have to be careful lest Satan would get advantage of us. And that is very important for every believer, that we be aware of the devices that Satan has and that he tries every way in the world to get advantage over us. And when you're in a battle, usually the army that has the greatest advantage is the one that wins. If you're in days gone by, if the battle was on a hillside, if you were on the top of the hill, having the upper ground, you was had a great advantage to winning that war. Well, the devil knows how to take advantage of us. He knows how to destroy us and how to tear things down. And Paul tells us here that we need to be careful and not let him take advantage of us, because we should be aware of his devices. He said we are not ignorant of what he uses. And then he tells here in verse number 12, he says, "I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel." That gospel there belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see the word Christ with apostrophe S, and that always means possession. And so this gospel that we have tonight belongs to the Lord, and he has given it to us, whereby we can take that same gospel and tell different people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "When I came to the city of Troas, I came with the gospel of Christ," or Christ's gospel, and he says, "A door was opened unto me of the Lord." The Lord gave him an open door that he could preach the gospel to those people that were there, and later on, as we read there, verse 13, in Macedonia. Macedonia call came to Paul, says, "Come over and help us." And so they went. We'll read that in just a little bit. But the word door, doors, we all know what it is. There's doors in every building. It gives you access to the building, gives you access to the room. There can be a closed door, there can be an open door. Every door is hinged, and some of the door openings are very easy to open. Some are more difficult. And Paul says here this door that God had given him was an open door. And we'll notice tonight it's open door of opportunity and many different things that was to the Apostle Paul. The door of opportunity is before each of us. And sometimes it swings with a great resistance. The world resists the gospel. The world resists the good things of the Lord. I know many times in our personal lives, especially I have read and have experienced also, many times we ask the Lord to either open a door or close a door. If we're not sure which way to go, which direction to go, then we ask the Lord for help and for instruction as to what to do. There are people that say, we are going through a door and we've made our decision, we're going to do that even though we're not satisfied with that. Well, I believe that's a very dangerous position to have, because if the Lord opens a door for you, then it should be a door of satisfaction. It should be a door that we enjoy, that we want to do. And so many times we ask the Lord to answer our prayer, either open the door where I can go through and have peace about that, or just close the door that I'll not have to worry about it any longer. The problem is sometimes with you and I, and maybe I can speak more for me than anybody else, sometimes the problem is when we ask the Lord to do that, and if He opens the door, we are reluctant to go through it. If He leaves it open for us, then we are sort of, we backtrack, we don't want to do everything that that maybe He has for us, and so we are reluctant to go through an open door. But Paul was very very open to this, and was very glad that God had given him that open door. Sometimes when the Lord closes a door, we find ourselves trying to push it open. We're trying to get it open because in our heart and our flesh, we want to do certain things, and the Lord says no. And so many times, either an open door or a closed door will bring us to a position of just asking God, which direction do you want me to go? Where do you want me to find myself? And even though there's much unconcern today in the Christian world, and I use that term Christian very loosely, even though there's much unconcern and stagnation, yet we have an opportunity, we have an open door before us. Until Jesus comes, that door is open that the gospel can go forth to every individual. So I want us to think tonight here in this one verse, as we just sort of open it up. Paul says, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me. And you'll know it. Notice here, it was opened of the Lord. So Paul recognized, Paul understood this door that was before him. It was a door of greatness for him. It was a great door. It was an effectual door. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9, Paul writes these words. It says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. And so when the door is open, you can be assured, you can rest assured in your life, as God opens a plan or opens a path for you, there are going to be many adversaries, and especially the adversary of the wicked one. He uses the same terminology here about Satan getting an advantage of us, and not to be ignorant of his devices. Because when we find the will of God for our life, when we know that this is what the Lord wants, then we are sure that the devil is going to fight every portion of the way, every step of the way. There's going to be a a resistance to the will of God. A great door that is there. The will of God brings us to a point, and we have to make a decision in our life. Am I going to do what God wants, or am I going to back up and wait a minute and see if God will change his mind, or if I do these things that in disarray and just not follow what he wants? And so Paul says here, God had opened unto him a great door, and it was an effectual door. You find Paul's writings that you'll know that what Paul did was always preach the gospel. Paul is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, as we mentioned this morning. And this message really goes right along with this morning, how that the door is open to the Gentile people through not only Peter preaching to Cornelius, but through the apostle Paul, as that door is opened unto him. And it was a door of preaching. 2 Corinthians 2:12, the verse that we read, it was Christ's door and Christ's gospel, and the door was open that he might preach to those people of Troas the message of salvation. In Acts chapter number 16, verse number 9, Paul says, a vision, Luke writes that Paul had a vision appear unto him in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, or he asked him, come over into Macedonia and help us. Paul sees that vision of a man in a far country. He mentions Macedonia in verse number 13 here. It's recorded in Acts chapter 16 that Paul sees the vision. He hears the words. He hears the request of that man that represents the Gentile world. Come over and help us. They had to have the same help as Cornelius had to have that we read this morning. So come over and help us. And the Bible says that Paul saw that, and he relates that as a door of preaching, to go into the world and preach the gospel. And I guess if you read the life of Paul, you'll find that he was one of the greatest of all preachers, stood in places no one else was able to stand, and he was blessed with a great door, an open door, to preach the gospel that was effectual to those that heard. I even mentioned this morning the effectual call of God. And it does have an effect upon our life. It changes us and it affects us. And it is a call that if we will hear and if we'll abide by it and we will follow His direction, then God will bless and give His honor to us. God has blessed America down through the years, and we had a great door open unto us. America, a young nation compared to many nations of this world. And God put upon these shores people that loved the Lord. And they began to be concerned about others. And you can read of men like William Carey and others, that Adoniram Judson, and those that would go undergoing much turmoil and much trouble. And the travel was much harder than it is today. But yet they had an open door that God would give to them out of Europe and out of America, that the gospel would be spread to the known world and that many would come to know the Lord. America and American preachers and American missionaries have literally given their lives that multitudes could hear the message of salvation. God certainly opened unto us a great door, a door of preaching, a door of witnessing. Paul writes in Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 3, he says, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance." There in Colossians 4:3, Paul says, not only do I want to walk through a great door, and not only to walk through that and be in the will of God, but he says, pray that the Lord would open unto us a door of utterance. That's the preaching of the gospel. That we would tell the message and tell the story, that we would witness to those. And we find that the adversaries are always there, especially in giving the gospel. The gospel of Luke chapter 21, verse number 15 says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Paul says there's many adversaries, there's much turmoil, there's much struggle against us. There is that adversary, the devil. And here Luke tells us that God has given us ability and tells us that we are able to withstand the wickedness of the world, and our adversaries are not able to stand against the power of God. Tonight we serve a God that's more powerful than you could ever imagine, more powerful than any army, more powerful than any group. He's all powerful. God speaks and it happens. God thinks and it happens. And so He says here that we are able to have an utterance of the gospel. The gospel changed my life. The gospel changed your life. And the gospel has changed the lives of multitudes of millions and millions of people down through the generations. And the adversary is there, but he's not able to stop. Not able to stop the story. Even when you get over into the book of Revelation, you'll find that the adversary works very diligently and very hard. But it is a futile effort, and the gospel continues to go even through the tribulation time. And the scripture says there's a multitude that no man could number, out of every kindred, out of every people, out of every nation, that hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the adversary, even though he is controlling the world, he cannot stop the message of God. A door of utterance, a door of preaching, a door of missions, a door that's been opened unto us. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 7 says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth." God, when he opens a door, Nobody's going to shut it except the Lord. When Noah and his family and those animals went into the ark, the Bible says what? God shut the door. And there was no way it could ever be opened except God doing the opening. And that's the same God that has given an opening to those of us that are preaching the message of salvation. He says, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. If God opens it, man can't shut it. If God shuts it, man can't open it. It is the power of God that brings about salvation to everyone that will believe. God certainly has given, in days gone by, God has given us the wealth, the respect, to allow us to send missionaries around the world. God opened the door, and the door is still open to multitudes of countries. Now they're closing very rapidly, closing very fast. The country of Venezuela is almost a closed country now. That country, just years ago, had a communist dictator take over, and they have literally destroyed a vibrant, beautiful nation, and missionaries are having to come out every year. Why? Because the adversary is there. The adversary is there to harm and to hurt. And if God permits them, if God lets it, then that door can be closed. But it's a great door that's been opened. And Paul tells the people of Corinth, he said, God has given us a door. He's given us a door of opportunity, a door of entrance. In Acts chapter number 16, there where we read just a moment ago, where Paul sees this man of Macedonia, he sees this Gentile man, and he represents a whole group of people that you and I are a part of, and he heard the message. He saw the man, and he heard the message, come over into Macedonia and help us. That's the plea. That's called the Macedonian call. Come and help us. And Paul hears that, and the Bible says, after he saw the vision, Luke writes, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. See, Luke was with Paul. They were together. Luke writes the book of Acts, and he writes much of the actions of this man called Paul. And he said, Paul saw the vision. He heard the voice. He saw the man. He heard the message. And he says, immediately we endeavored, we started our path toward Macedonia. And the last part of that verse is, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Assuredly, we were sure that God had called us into Macedonia. And then he says, here's the purpose, here's the reason, for to preach the gospel unto them. Everywhere Paul went, he preached the same message. It didn't matter if he's in Athens, preaching to that group of people that had many idols that were set up. They even had the idol that was set up, says, to the unknown God. And he preaches to them the Lord Jesus Christ. He preaches to them the gospel. If he's in the city of Corinth, he preaches the same gospel. If he's in the city of Athens, and Corinth, if he's in the city of Ephesus and Colossae and all those Philippi, all those other little towns that had people, Paul's message was always the same, and it was Christ's gospel. That the door had been opened, that he would preach that message unto them. He says immediately, he had a discernment, and Paul and Luke had the discernment that if God has given us this opportunity, then we ought to go. And the Bible says immediately they made their way. Immediately they went. They didn't try to pray about it anymore. There wasn't any more questions to ask. And they just simply endeavored to go. When the door's open, we ought to go through it. When the door's closed, then we have to stop and ask God. But we have to have the discernment of the Lord. You see, the scripture here says that we were assured that it was of the Lord. He tells assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach. They had peace in their heart. They had direction in their life. They had satisfaction. This is what God wants. This is what we're going to do. Anytime we make decisions, spiritual decisions, I believe we need to have discernment. This is what God wants, and this is what we'll do. Well, I'm not sure if God wants me to do this or that. Then you best rest assured. You better settle back. You better wait for God to either open the door or close the door. Sometimes we just go through it, and then we pay the consequences. Then we have the price. And so Paul was assured, and Luke was assured, that God had called them. They didn't teach them how to plant a garden. They didn't teach them how to raise a crop. They taught them the gospel, and they preached unto them the Lord Jesus Christ. As a difficult war as World War II was, after that was over, Japan was very open to the gospel. And they begged, they invited, after everything settled after the war, they wanted missionaries to come and preach to them the gospel. You know why? They saw something different. They realized the Lord had been with us. After the Iron Curtain fell, we remember, many of us remember when President Reagan said to Gorbachev, "Tear this wall down." And the wall came down. And immediately, missionaries flooded that part of the world. We have a missionary right now that is in and has been for a number of years in what used to be called East Germany, and preaching the gospel and starting churches. Why? The door was open. The door was no longer closed. God had torn down the wall, and the city of Berlin was now together. The country of Germany was once again united. And the gospel went into it. We have countries all around this world that have closed doors. But when God opens it, thank the Lord, there are those that are willing to go through the door. Being assuredly, knowing for sure that God has called them to preach the gospel. So there must be a discernment. Is it of the Lord? Is it of God? Is it of Christ? Am I doing what needs to be done? Am I satisfied with this particular decision? When God opens it, I believe we'll know, and I don't believe we'll have to worry. When God gives guidance and gives direction, I don't think we'll have to have fear in our hearts and say, "Well, I'm not sure I'll do this or not." Well, if you're not sure you ought to do it or not, then you ought not do it. That's just that simple. Doesn't matter I've tried in my life. I have failed at different times. But if I'm not sure about something, I just don't do it, because usually I find out I should not have kicked the door open and gone and done that. So there must be discernment, but there also must be boldness to step through, even though the world around us thinks we are foolish and we are archaic, even though the world thinks we have lost our mind. We need to have discernment, and then we need to have boldness to go through the door and do what the Lord wants and gives to us. So it's a door of entrance. We go through the door. Tonight you came into this building. That was a door of entrance. Before long we'll go out the door. It's a door of exit. The door will be locked. And unless you break the lock or unless you break in, you can't get back in. And that's so many times how it is with the work of the Lord. He'll open it. We go through it. And if not, we spend our time, and God has His time, His time frame, and sometimes He does shut the door and opportunity is no longer there. So it's a door of entrance. It's a door of, I mentioned a moment ago, effectiveness. The gospel makes an effect and has an effect on the lives of those that hear it. He says a great door, an effectual, is opened. When I heard the gospel as a boy, a young boy, I heard it over and over and over again. I would hear the message, I would hear the preacher, and we at that era of time when you had visiting preachers, somebody would always take the preacher home with them and they would eat at our table. And I don't know how many multiples of preachers that I had met in my life before I was called to preach, because the door was open of our house to those that would come. And here Paul says it's a great door. It's effectual. And we hear the gospel over and over and over again. think Brother Gallagher asked this morning if there was anybody in the auditorium that got saved the first time they heard. Most of us, it's not the first time, but it's over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, we come to a realization and we give our lives over to the Lord and we accept Him. And that gospel that's been preached to us becomes effective. It makes a difference. Every one of us in here tonight that's saved, the gospel has made a difference. It's made a difference in our life. It's made a difference in our thoughts. It's made a difference in how we live. It's made a difference in how we act. It's a making a difference that does matter. So the gospel and this door that is there, it's effective to those that will let God have His way. It is God that opens the door, and the gospel can be effectively presented, and then it affects everybody that hears it. Even those that reject the gospel, it has an effect upon them. And sometimes that effect is a hardening of the heart, a stiffening of the neck, and a rejection of the story, and the rejection of the message of salvation. But it does have an effect upon them. Paul says this gospel, this door that's been opened, is a door of opportunity. It's a door of preaching. It's a door of utterance. It's a door that has adversaries. It's a door that you can go through, but it does affect every individual that is before us. So it's effectual, good, great door. Millions have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because the door was opened. Paul saw the Macedonian. He heard the message. And immediately, didn't waste any time, immediately they endeavored, being assured that the Lord had called them to preach. They go there, and you know what happens. We have the church of Corinth. We have the church of Ephesus. We have the church of Colossae. We have the church, all those books that we have in the Bible. And there are many more churches that were started that are not even mentioned in the Scripture. Why? Because the gospel exploded. It had an effect in the lives of people. You come to Revelation, there are seven churches that are mentioned there. Every one of them but one or two had something wrong with them because it's a church made of people. And those churches were very active in the things of the Lord. Some for good, some not so good. And then the church of Laodicea had nothing good to say about it. The Lord said something good about every church except Laodicea. He didn't have anything good to say about that church. The only thing He said about that church is that you've grown lukewarm. He says you're neither hot nor cold. He said, I wish it was one way or the other. Either get on or get off. Get off the fence. Get on one side or the other. And He says, but you are lukewarm. But the door was still open to them. They are still considered one of the churches of Asia. They were a backslidden church. They were a church that had multiple problems, but they were a church that the door had been opened and multitudes had come. There have been millions of people saved because of the witness of the Apostle Paul. We are here tonight, and I'm assured in my heart, we are here tonight because of who we studied this morning and who we're studying tonight. I was able to go to a Gentile world, called of God, preach the gospel, and it made an effect. Paul went as far into Europe, and he preached the gospel, and from that, of course, we know where most of our roots are European. And the gospel came, and the message has been given. Multitudes and millions of souls have been won to Christ here in America and around the world because the door was open. Thank God for that open door. There is a door that is there. But as we mentioned a moment ago, there are problems. There are adversaries. There are difficulties. The Bible says in the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter number 3, and verse number 1, it says, He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and the next words were, and Satan standing at his right hand, what? To resist him. To resist him. He was there to fight the battle. And Zechariah, he says, I saw Satan standing right beside him. And he was there not to encourage him, not to push him forward, but to resist him. in the work. This great, this effective door is opened, and we are to be aggressive. We're to be telling the story. But we also understand that the devil doesn't like it. He doesn't like the message of Grace Baptist Church. He doesn't like the ministry of this preacher. He doesn't like the ministry of our school. He doesn't like the ministry of our mission. He does not like anything we do. And he resists and he tears down and he hurts and he destroys. And so there is a resistance. There's a resistance that comes from the world. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." The lion is a, there was a lion roaring, seeking whom he may devour. And the world resists us. And Paul says, "Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me." Thank God when God stands with you, it doesn't matter who stands against you, you're on the winning side. He wins the battle. So there is a world that resists us. The world in general hates the preaching of God's Word. You can talk about God, you can talk about everything, but don't talk about the Savior. Don't talk about Christ. Don't bring it down to what's really, really important. And it will resist us. There is a worldly resistance and there is a religious resistance. The religious world tonight does not fall in behind us in lockstep. The religious world and the world of religions, plural, they don't stand with Christ. They don't stand with what is true. They stand with what their traditions are. I heard a fellow, he pastored here in town a few years ago, and all he could talk about was, "My tradition says this. My tradition, our tradition, my tradition, the church's tradition." I want to say so much, forget tradition, get in the book. The traditions of men have destroyed people for generations. There is a religious resistance against the work of God. Luke tells us in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Everything that's good, everything that's holy, everything that's righteous, you're always resisting the work of God. And that's religious people. That's people that are religious. Someone was telling me this morning about going to a funeral at a church here in town. And he said it was terrible. No spirit. No gospel. No preaching. And that's a church. If I was to call his name, you'd know very well where it is and who it is. But religion always resists the truth of the gospel. Religion is so tied up in their traditions. We ought not have traditions that overshadow and overtake and become more powerful than the written word of God. Amen. Not have nothing that stands above this book here. No matter what I think, you think, no matter what's been written, no matter what's been done, this is not tradition, this is God's word. And so therefore we need to do away with the religious resistance and turn to God. And of course we know there's a satanic resistance. He is the one that is behind all of it. Peter tells us that we're to be vigilant because our adversary walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We dealt with that a little bit last Wednesday. And so we find that the resistance is always there. And we need to understand that it's not always an easy road to be a Christian. It's not always a comfort to be a child of God. It's not always fun to be a Christian. Now, it's good to be a Christian, but some of it is not a whole lot of fun. Who likes people against you? Who likes people fighting against you? Who likes the words and the things and the thoughts and the ideas and the actions against us because of what we believe? It's not always fun, but it's always right to follow the Word of God. Because our adversary, he is there. And we need to realize that these oppositions are just really a natural resistance and reaction to the gospel. You preach the gospel, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to accept it or they're going to reject it. There's no in-between ground. You hear the truth, you accept the truth, or you reject the truth. Well, I'm not rejecting the truth. If you don't accept it, you're rejecting. There's no in-between. Well, I just don't know yet. We don't move by knowledge, we move by faith, believing what God has told us. And so the resistance is always there. Probably as damaging of resistance as any of these things we've mentioned. And I've just got it down here. It's not religious. It's not satanic. Sometimes the worst resistance we have is a self-resistance to what God wants us to do. That God has a plan. Every one of us in here tonight, God has a plan for our life. We need to try to find it and then do it. To search out the will of God is the greatest adventure the person can ever have. To find the will of God is the greatest experience. And to do the will of God, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to be able to do God's will. In Jonah chapter 1, the Lord came to Jonah saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's resistance was not religion. Jonah's resistance was not government. His resistance was not necessarily Satan hindering him. His resistance was him. "I'll not go. I'll not do." How many times we've heard that person, how many times may we have said, that individual, they're their own worst enemy. They're their own worst enemy. And I've said that about people. And sometimes I'm sure it's been said about me, "I'm my own worst enemy." You know what that is? That's self-resistance. May God help us not to be like Jonah, who many times go the other direction. And there are times that we are afraid and we do not move. There are times when we're worried about the outcome. When it really all comes down, either I rely upon the word of the Lord or I fail. He tells me the truth or he lies. It's either truth or it's false. I'm either going forward or I'm going backward. Very few Christians tonight are at a standstill. Sometimes we say, "Well, so-and-so in their spiritual life, they're at a standstill." Most of the time, we're not at a standstill. We're either trotting forward, resisting and working and serving, or we're backing up because we're afraid of what's going to happen. And so may God help us tonight to realize that God has given to the Christian world, to the believers of the Lord, not only did he give it to Paul, but he gives it to us, a great and effectual door is open. May we walk through resisting the devil. And the scripture says when we do that, he'll flee from us. If we don't resist him, we'll have to flee. And we flee out of the presence of the Lord. What if Paul had said, "Boy, Macedonia's a long ways. I don't think we can do it." What if Paul said, "Well, it's going to cost too much"? What if Paul said, "I just really don't want to do that"? What if Paul said no? But he had the discernment, being assured that they were called of God. They immediately endeavored to go where? Macedonia. And we trace our roots back to Macedonia. This morning, we talked about and preached about Cornelius, that first major Gentile that was saved under the preaching of the Apostle Peter, that had to go through that transformation of realizing that God did not respect him above somebody else. And there's that first family, that first unit, that first people. They gathered everybody they knew that they might hear Peter preach to them. I hope you read that message that Peter preached, Acts chapter 10. Tonight we see the Apostle Paul there that had been saved just before this incident there in Luke 10, Acts chapter 10. Paul is saved in chapter 8. Now we have the Apostle Paul having that open door going through it, and preaching to guess who? The Gentiles. Being assured the Lord had called them. Be assured tonight of what God tells you to. And if He tells you to do something, you should have peace in your heart. So many times people say, well, I'm just not at peace about it. Then leave it alone. Let God give you peace, or let the door be shut. Let's stand tonight.